Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio.
Footy's on the radio.
And your front row.
Farim hot water heaters. If your hot water needs replacing, accept nothing less than Australia's best. Install a Ream.
Welcome to the Sunday Rub.
For Macca's Little Wins app.
Triple M rocks footy.
Farim hot water heaters, they're designed and built for Australian conditions when it comes to water heating. Install a Ream. For McDonald's, Triple M rocking football, MCG today. We've got a great game on offer today. Collingwood been in reasonable form tackling a side that, is, let's face it, one of the premiership favourites, Hawthorn, but they need to show some improved form today. Wayne Carey, good afternoon. Welcome to you.
Yeah, g'day, boys. G'day, listeners. What a beautiful day. Spring just around the corner. You wake up this morning, BT, the birds are chirping, people are out mowing their lawns, and you can smell the clippings. Finals right on the horizon. You just hope you're playing on a Wakeland.
Some people. Oh.
Wow. Just
Wakeland twins
chin.
Aren't.
No, they know.
They're used to it by now, Brian.
They know that.
Hope
gag.
You're playing on a Wakeland.
They know that gag.
Swatter, good
Hello,
afternoon.
Brian. How are you? And yeah. I agree with Duck. It's a cracker of a day here. And geez. Strong performances yesterday by the Cats and the Swans, but equally, what about Melbourne and Richmond? Diabolical.
Yep, indeed they are. Jay-Z, our newsbreaker here, Jay Clark from the Herald Sun. Welcome to you, Jay.
I was in the Melbourne rooms yesterday. Fellas down there for the Roosie farewell, hoping to speak to all the players about the great legacy Paul Roos would leave and passing the baton to Simon Goodwin.
So that was your assignment, was it?
That was the plan. Oh, boy. Didn't that fall flat?
The worst loss under Paul Roos's reign.
111 points, the worst coaching loss of his whole career. I reckon he took it a little bit personally, to be honest. As I understand it, when he went to address the players for the first time, he was in the room and there was a bit of discussion, and he didn't say anything. He said to the boys, I don't want to say anything I'll regret. Mm. So he was pretty flat with it. Mm. And I think in the big scheme of things, this won't hold Melbourne back. I think there's still a good chance to make finals next year. But I thought it was a bit of a slap in the face yesterday. And talking to Jack Viney after the game, he said he felt horrible.
All right, let's move on to the first point for discussion is the finals ramifications and what it means and where it's at the moment. So we've got really two games that are being played today that can still affect finals football. Hawthorn Collingwood here and, of course, Fremantle Western Bulldogs. Now, there's probably two clear favourites there. Hawthorn should probably beat Collingwood, given the fact that they've got more to play for.
You're certain on that? That you don't think there's any chance of a
Collingwood? Oh, no, I do. I think there is a chance, but I'm just going for the favourites and saying, OK, Hawthorn, if they're going to win a premiership, they've got to be able to beat Collingwood today, don't they?
Yeah.
So I look at it that way. And then the other one is Fremantle, the Dogs. Well, it's, even though it's in Perth, the Dogs probably should win at Fremantle, not without a chance in that game as well. Let's assume that both of the favourites win.
Well, you've been across it for weeks now, BT. You mentioned that there was going to be a Thursday night game in Adelaide, if it was Adelaide Geelong and all of those things. So you're across what's going to happen. What are the where do you think they will fit, the finals, just to give people a little snapshot before they find out later tonight?
So given the favourites win today, this is how I think it will turn out. Thursday night, I think we'll see Adelaide play North Melbourne in Adelaide. Then on Friday night, I think we'll see probably the game of the finals, Geelong play Hawthorn Friday night here at the MCG. And then on Saturday afternoon, they'll slot the least attractive game in Sydney and GWS on a Saturday afternoon slot up in Sydney.
At ANZ or SCG?
No, that'll be played at the SCG, given the fact it's, I think, won't it?
No, it's ANZ.
ANZ, yeah. It is ANZ, okay, because they're playing GWS, yes. And then the fourth game will be Saturday night. I think it'll probably be more likely to be West Coast Eagles and the Western Bulldogs from Perth on a Saturday night. I think that's the way it would currently go. The AFL today have a big decision to make. I don't reckon they want to play GWS and Sydney on a Thursday night at Homebush. It's going to look ugly, not going to be a lot there, and I think they'd much prefer to see a full stadium in Adelaide or even Perth. But Adelaide would be their first choice, I would have thought, for a Thursday night final.
Is there room to move the ANZ fixture, if that's the way it plays out?
Not. The game will be played at SCG unless it's the Battle of the Bridge. So the Battle of the Bridge is going to be at ANZ, which
Why
is the Sydney
though?
Rivalry.
Because if they finish on top, whether it's Sydney or another team, don't you earn the right to have your first final at home?
Yeah, I think it. I think that would be great. But maybe that'd be.
And wouldn't that be a better reflection to have a packed SCG with the two Sydney teams as opposed to a vacated ANZ stadium?
I think it says a home. The rules actually say a home state final. They don't say a home ground final. I think that's number one. Number two, Swatter, what you say makes perfect sense, but because of a contractual obligation to Homebush, that is the reason that is now a real possibility. Next year, this won't happen.
Yeah, it's still a great thing for footy, I think, to get these two teams together in the one game. I think it's a huge tick for the whole expansion and a great game to really showcase these two sides. I think, remember GWS beat Sydney a couple of years ago, so I think they'll be they'll go out hunting. It would be a huge scalp for them to
knock over
the Swindon
final. Were you at the game last night, Swatter, GWS game?
Yep.
They were pretty impressive, weren't they?
Yeah, it was a dour game of footy.
I mean, yeah, it was. North Melbourne played tight and they weren't able to find the space and get the fluency they normally have off their half-back line and the slingshot sort of attitude that they have. But I thought they coped with having to go to Plan B they're not always going to be able to play their style.
No, I agree with that. And Leon Cameron said after the game that he was really happy with the way that they defended against the Kangaroos. Probably the best defensive game they played for the last 6 weeks. And to the point about ANZ Stadium, I actually think ANZ Stadium would suit the style of the Giants, Duck, as opposed to if they had to play the Swans at the SCG, it would work in Sydney's favour.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Obviously, it's that side of town. I think GWS would have really good support there. And there is a lot of talk that Sydney don't like ANZ Stadium, Sydney Swans, that is. Whereas they've only lost two finals there, Swatter. Mm. Their very first one and last year against the Kangaroos. They've lost two out of eight, I think it is. Which is a good record, as simple as that. So, look, GWS, I agree with what you and BT both said, and that is that, sometimes you're not going to be able to play that quick ball movement, fluent footy that we know they can play, and you've got to win like that. So that just shows another level that they can go to.
The standout final of that first lot is Geelong versus Hawthorn.
Ripper.
For me, that is absolutely mouthwatering with all the history between these two sides. And to me, there's not an obvious favourite in that match.
No, I agree with
Duck,
that.
What do you think?
No obvious favourite. I totally agree. That is a great game. By the way, I reckon Sydney GWS is mouthwatering.
Mm. I reckon you could draw a line across the top six sides at the moment to say that there's nothing between the top six sides.
Do we change our view, boys, given what West Coast were able to do on Friday night against Adelaide?
Yeah, you do. I do. I think straight away now, obviously a home final against the Bulldogs, you say straight away now favourites. Whereas, 3 weeks ago, Swatter, you were probably saying, not really.
Mm.
They
dismantled Adelaide on Friday night.
They look really, really good, don't they?
Do you know, the player who has absolutely jumped off the page for me over the past couple of weeks is Jeremy McGovern. Jeremy McGovern. His hands are unbelievable, are they not?
He'll be all Australian.
There's a kid called Barras who goes all right too. He's just slotted in nicely
and
down
you know
the
what?
Back end.
Similar types. Barras really likes to read it. Good above his head. Well, he was terrific. Mm.
He's basically keeping McKenzie out, isn't he? But
and a good build for a young man. Yeah. He's going to be a powerful unit.
The two McGoverns, did you see that when they were playing on each other? Mm. I think it was the West Coast McGovern slam tackled his brother.
He did.
The older brother.
That's the way it's got to be, Brian.
Hey,
the big dog letting the young pup know who's boss.
It was very intriguing indeed as well. We've got plenty to come today, boys. We're going to catch up with Alan Tovey, the outgoing Alan Tovey. A little bit later on, Possum Oz. He's going to come up and have a bit of a chat. Johnny Wersfold from the Bombers as well. They finished off nicely with a win as well. And Ben Stratton, he's jumped on Media Street, Benny. I know he's injured at the moment for the Hawks, but
he's got to do something, Brian.
We've had him just about every week. We had him last week as well.
Okay. Well, it's good. It's nice of Hawthorn to offer people.
I know, Jay-Z, you're all over him. You want to ask him a million questions.
Can't wait to talk to Ben.
Yeah.
So plenty more to come. Stay with us. We're going to take a break right now.
Just reckon Duck pulls off the white tee better than our man in the front row, Jay, today.
Yeah. Well,
Duck should only sport those type of tees.
One's potentially the greatest player the game's ever seen. Especially I'm fat guts Jay-Z. So.
Especially when that white tee. It doesn't quite overlap the belt area.
Yep. It's just a Harry Highpat.
All right, North Melbourne. Everyone knows about North and, what's happened during the week. And Jay-Z, now you can sit back, reflect and see how it was handled and see the result that came with it last night. What are you thinking about the way the whole thing was handled?
Well, North Melbourne botched it. I think that's very clear. So Boomer Harvey goes into Brad Scott's office and says...
How does North Melbourne botch it?
by telling them the decision.
They demanded. A certain person, Boomer Harvey, demanded a decision.
Hang on. Let's go through what happened.
Yep.
Because I don't reckon many people out there know, and Duck's alluding to what happened.
Yep.
Tell us what happened.
Well, as Duck just said, Brent Harvey walked into Brad Scott's office and says, I want to know, and I'm not leaving until, or words to this effect, I'm not leaving until you tell me. So the club are in an awkward position. He's the game's record holder, and they say, well, look, you're not going on, and these are the three other guys who aren't. So then Boomer Harvey gets the answer. He didn't like the answer, and I think that was clear. There was talk about doing a press conference, possibly. He wasn't ready for that.
North Melbourne wanted them to do a press conference.
Yep.
And the players declined.
Yeah, that's as I understand it. And last night, I thought it really took all sting and energy out of their performance. You guys would be a better judge than that. I'll tell you
So I want to ask you a question.
Yep.
Why did Brad Scott not say to Boomer Harvey, Boomer, mate, this is not about you getting the family to come to your last game in Melbourne. You've had the 426th, the 427th, the 400th, the 300th, the 350th. You've had enough of those. You've had plenty of those. You've been great, but we are reserving our right on the decision and we are holding our decision for 2 weeks.
Correct.
Absolutely agree.
Why would he risk blowing apart the team depending on how those guys individually reacted on the eve of finals?
Well, our great mate James Brayshaw says he's a special case. The game's record holder, he deserves to know.
Okay, then. So why couldn't you just tell him and say, okay, look, Boomer, this is between you and us. You've got to guarantee me it's not going to affect you. And just let him know, not the rest.
Well, it might have got out.
Because my understanding is that there were little leaks starting to sort of fester already. And then they had to make the decision.
The moment
this
you
is
tell
going
the
to get
player,
out, this
you
is
have
going
to go public.
This is going to get out, and that's why they ended up having to do it. So, in saying that, how does that make Brad Scott in the wrong, or the North Melbourne Footy Club?
Because they say the club is bigger than the individual,
and it is,
right? So they just say, Boomer, we can't tell you now, mate. I know you're an absolute champion of this football club. We will make an enormous amount of your contribution to this club at the right time. At the moment, we are focused on winning this weekend after that, and when it's all done, we'll tell all of you. That's what the clear option and the obvious option to me is.
Nick Del Santo also said publicly a day before that he would like to know before the last game, maybe in Melbourne.
But what you like to know and what you get to know is two different things.
I get that, BT. So once again, why are we blaming? At the end of the day, they've been told for because they got
Do you agree with the decision?
Absolutely.
Right.
And I've said that.
Yeah.
Both you guys said that.
I've said that I agree with the decision. I think they've had to make some tough decisions, and it was clearly a tough decision because three of those guys are North Melbourne champions. Now, the word champion gets thrown around far too easily, but they're North Melbourne champions. Both all played over 250 games, two of them, one 400, one 300, the other one 250. And obviously, Del Santo, a champion of St Kilda and a great contribution to North Melbourne. So much emotion around that for the fans, for the club. Can't be easy. Brad Scott's job's not to be as the senior coach of that club, not to be players' friends or not to... You're there to make tough decisions. Well, it was a tough decision.
Here's an example of why they need to make the decision. Of all of the clubs in the competition, they have had the less debutants over the last 2 years than any other club. They have had three young players.
That's been their strategy, though.
Three
to
young
top
players
up with mature players.
So they've attempted to buy a premiership, and they've failed on that plan. So now,
PT, it hasn't been a massive fail. Two preliminary finals, clearly that's not a fail, BT.
No.
It takes some luck to win grand finals.
No, I'm talking about buy a premiership. So they haven't been able to buy a premiership. So now, this is why I agree with the four players going, because they now need to clear the space to allow for some debutants to come in.
Some salary cap room to go into the marketplace. Yes. Look, I think it was the right decision. I think they made an error of judgment to tell the players. I think the club's well within their rights to go, guys, with all due respect, we know you want an answer.
And that's the answer at every other
club.
But
we don't want to give an answer because we've got the last home and away and then we've got a finals campaign. We'll tell you once we've got to that position.
Hang on, but if you record breaker, Boomer Harvey walks in and said, I'm demanding an answer.
But why is he demanding an answer?
But that's a player putting himself in front of the club.
Well,
and I think the club's well within their rights to say, with all due respect, we're not going to give you that answer because it's about the next couple of weeks. I think what happened from the outside looking in, once the decision was made to tell them, they had to go public.
Yep.
But it happened that quickly. It was their inability or the feeling rushed to get something out with the way that it was delivered that probably made the decision 10 times worse.
So why hasn't anyone said then, if that's all 100% true, why hasn't anyone said the reason for the bad timing is Boomer Harvey himself? Because he demanded an answer.
Well if that's the case, they're not going to do that, though, are they?
Well,
so you're saying that's selfish?
No, what I'm saying is don't point the finger at Brad Scott.
Yeah.
Point the finger at Brent Harvey, who demanded an answer.
Well, they're both in the
wrong
then.
That's the reason for the bad timing of how this was presented.
So he shouldn't have asked the question, and they shouldn't have given him the answer.
Exactly.
Off the back of all of that, and when you take the emotion out, and there's been some hysterical things said over the last sort of 36 to 72 hours.
I thought someone shot Bambi.
I think it's one of the most significant decisions that the club has made in the last 20 to 30 years. Yeah. I think it's a bold decision. It's brave.
Significant or obvious?
Probably both. I mean, we said it a couple of weeks ago some criticism.
You said it.
Yeah, I know. But you were quoted first.
No, but I backed you up.
But I think it's the first time in a long time the club has made tough calls on great players, which declares their hand with regards to what they want to do.
Yep.
As difficult and as great as these players have been, we need to make a decision for the next 5 years for this football club. We need to get more kids in, and we need to go to the marketplace with a salary cap room to be aggressive.
David Swallow.
And negotiate good players into our group.
What did you think of how it affected the players last night?
I think it
night?
Sucked the jam out of their donut before the game played. They fired off as good a shot as they possibly could.
And see, that
but
was
there the... wasn't the spark and the spirit and the antagonistic Flatten method them. That I've seen them play this year.
And that was my point. Why did they just refuse to tell Boomer anything at all about it? Because that was always the risk of happening. Now, whether they can regroup before the final in 2 weeks...
What do you mean, if...
is another thing. They may, in this two-week period, adjust mentally to what they've been told.
Please, bro. Can they duck?
Of course they can.
Oh, look, just off the back of form, I'm
it
not...
It doesn't look like it.
Take the mental side out of it and what's occurred the last week. I'm talking their form over the last 10 weeks. Mm.
You're talking form.
Form. They're not... They're
500 to 1.
It's going to be tough.
It doesn't matter that... It doesn't mean that Fredo can't get angry between now and then, though.
I thought the effect on the playing group last night, you guys know better than me, was significant.
Yeah.
Was
no
enormous.
No doubt.
So you got to sheet some of the handling of all these decisions, I think has to, there needs to be blame sheeted because last night was just poor.
Well, they have the best media department in the AFL.
Heath is an absolute star.
Haven't had the best few weeks. We had the record-breaking week and the release of the book and all that type of thing. It hasn't been their finest period.
Next question. All right. I am adamant that Brent Harvey should play elsewhere next season.
Don't put your hands on the window, mate. We can't see
you. Yeah, and that's my window.
Sorry. Okay. Adamant.
Which club?
I think he would fit best at Collingwood.
Who?
Hang on, he's 38.
Boomer Harvey.
He's 38.
Boomer Harvey?
Yeah, I think he should go on at Collingwood. Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Without question.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Whitechurch. None of those players will be playing AFL again.
Brent Harvey, you put a line through him.
Absolutely, 100%.
I agree with you,
BT. I think he could finish top 10 in Collingwood's
best
and fairest.
I'll tell you the only thing that you can do with a Boomer Harvey, similar to Stevie J. If you go to a young team, and then therefore you can have an older player like Stevie J, who, by the way, Stevie J's had a great year, but I don't think he's laid too many tackles.
He's only 34.
Or had too many chases this year, but he fits that side because he's got other players around him covering for him in that area of his game, which is deficient in those parts
Snagged
of his game.
Four from the Bandy line.
That's right. He's brilliant, but he's deficient in that part of his game. I would say Boomer Harvey is deficient in that part of his game.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, he can't be carried by certain... He could... By all means, go to a greater Western Sydney.
Trouble with North, they've got too many players that are deficient in that area.
Exactly.
And another one is retiring.
And that's why they are retiring.
He goes to Collingwood, and they've got a forward line which has Elliott, Fasolo, Degoe, White,
Jay-Z.
Moore.
It's not going to happen.
He can win three games off his own boot. He's
not going to win any games off his own boot.
He's kicked five goals and had nearly 60 possessions in the last 2 weeks.
Mate, so you're denying a kid who may play 10 years Nathan at the Pies, Buckley 15 needs, to 20 Nathan, games of development.
Nathan Buckley and his whole crew need to win 15 games next year.
I reckon a decision like that would put more pressure on Nathan Buckley if he went down
and that
path.
And that would be a... showing your lack of football awareness.
Now, did you see him last night?
You're a leading journalist
in this
town.
What did you think of him last night?
Doesn't matter what about him last night.
Oh, boy! Oh, there's a standoff in the box. Bristles up off the seat.
You know what? They lost the game last night.
Yeah, I know.
And the week before.
We're never in the hunt. But guess what? They have not beaten a side in the top eight since round six. And guess what? Boomer's been in all of those games.
Look at Jay-Z cowering underneath the desk. Right? About to suck his thumb.
So if you think that he's going to end up at another club, then you are...
delusional.
In a very, very big dream.
What about, lads, this is my last point on this. He wants to go into, like, fitness coaching, fitness and skills. Be he wants to coach as the player that he was. So doing this fitness coaching and player, why don't you have him for 1 year with a two-year sort of coaching he helps mentor the
North
kids? And
or at another club?
At another club. I think I don't think he would stay at North.
But he's had a great career and he's been a star at this club for a long period of time. But he's 38. It's 2 years shy of 40, Jay.
Who cares?
If he wants to go into sports science and wants to go into coaching, great. Move into that next phase of your life.
Yep. He could kick to Darcy Moore. He would put it on his chest.
You should not wear white shirts and you should not talk like that.
My advice would be to not look or sound bitter and twisted, but to move on to the next phase as quickly as he can and say,
be celebrated for the for the service and the great player that you've been at the North Melbourne Footy Club.
I reckon
and the game's record holder.
We want to thumb his nose at stuff.
Do you know something?
Well, then,
if that
is the case, then North have definitely made the right decision.
Will his legacy be affected by going to another club?
Was Dougie Hawkins?
He ain't going to another club.
No, but just say he went. Just say he went to another club. Are we going to consider him any less of a champion or whatever?
No.
So why doesn't he go for it then?
Because it's not doing all.
You don't
the things
think there'll
he needs
be any contract offers? You don't think there'll be one?
I don't think there'll be one.
What do you know?
Oh, I think there'll be offers.
Oh, it's just, you know what, it's good fodder.
Yeah, that's right. Fodder. And Jay-Z's there, and he's got his little nose pointing upwards, and his head's going up now. as if to say, oh, I know. Jay-Z, you know Jack on this. And I will bet.
Yeah.
Your house now on the fact that he doesn't end up at a club next year in a playing role.
All right. Okay.
I hope he ends up in a coaching role, and I think that's where he should go.
If we're still on the radio next year, Brian, we'll take up the conversation.
Yeah, well, before we leave games of yesterday, Patrick Dangerfield, he just consolidated the already certain Brownlow, didn't he?
He was good. He was very good, BT. His delivery and the start, if Melbourne thought they were half a chance, it was almost snubbed out within
3 minutes
about
in.
5 minutes in, where he just burst out of the middle and hit targets, hit Hawkins. Gave Hawkins four of his goals, I reckon, inside 50, and lace out, left foot a couple of times, right foot out of the middle once. He's just... The reason why, and I've probably said this a fair bit over the last few weeks, that not always do the favourites win Brownlows, but the way he plays, there is no doubt he gets threes. Even the, not last year, he polled well, but he did poll well last year, but the year before where he didn't have as good a year, BT, he polled unbelievably well. So they love him. He's a poller. And the other thing is he gets the ball and he bursts away, and that the umpires will just go three,
tick, tick,
three, three. All of his votes will be threes. There won't be twos and ones, and that's why he's home.
Brian, he set the record, didn't he, yesterday for inside 50s for the season.
Yeah, in the first half.
Yeah, before half time. So,
which was Akamanis, was it? Was Akamanis
I think that might be right. Yep.
Not sure, but...
He's a similar... We were trying to work out who he's similar to. If you think of players that grab the ball from a stoppage and burst away...
Juddy?
I reckon Juddy was that, most definitely. Certainly. I reckon Acker was like that. And Acker had an unbelievably good...
Juddy's the one, I
left foot.
Cooney early days.
Yeah.
Lesser
yeah.
extent.
Mm. Cooney did it for 1 year. Well, he did. He had one brilliant year where he did it, and then obviously injuries slowed him down. But it's those type of... And that's why Cooney won the Brownlow. I mean, they just... They're great to watch. He's good.
What about, even perhaps more significant than Dangerfield, what about Tommy Hawkins yesterday, Duck?
Yeah, you know what? He looked like, to me, BT, he was running on top of the ground. He looked really sharp. He looked light. Mm. You know how sometimes I reckon you can watch Tom Hawkins and he can look heavy?
Yep.
He can look a bit sluggish. Well, he looked really light on top of the ground. He looked sharp. His hands were good. Everything about him looked crisp.
Was it you or someone else here on this station a couple of weeks ago saying he was cooked? Someone was saying, and I said, wait until the finals get close and he'll be right. The big boys start to shine. It might have been you, Duck.
No, well, I think... No, I've never said he was cooked. When he looks that sluggish, and you said off-air today that, you know, there were times where you play where you feel like you got lead in your legs.
Yeah.
Well, at times... I've watched Tom this year and he's looked exactly like that, but yesterday he looked magnificent.
Four in the first quarter. How many kicked for the game?
Kicked six.
Six.
Mm, good effort. Did Geelong in any way brighten your enthusiasm for them winning the premiership this year by that yesterday?
Well they're X factors, and we've said this all year about them. We know what Selwood gives you. We know what Danger. Hawkins plays well, but when you got Stevie Motlop, who actually was a lot better yesterday.
He still cooked Hawkins.
Yeah. Oh, that was bad. You got Menzel. Yeah. You got Menzel, who was good yesterday. So all of these, you know, Caddies and the Duncans and all of these players that are that middle rung, you know, if they find that consistency, which I reckon they're starting to, then the Cats are going to take some beating. It's amazing a week in footy. Adelaide's premiership chances diminished by about 30%. Geelong's have gone up 30.
In a side that's about to win a premiership, you give that handball, don't you? Automatically.
That's an automatic handball.
Tommy didn't look thrilled.
You know what? He kicked the goal. You live and die by the sword, but it was poor. And I have no doubt that they would be saying to him, that's not good enough.
Yep. All right, joining us in the box here right now, Ben Stratton from the Hawks has wandered in just leisurely up, just a couple of minutes late, but we'll forgive him for that. We don't operate on lateness here, Benny, but welcome to you and good afternoon.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me, BT and the boys.
Very good. So just update on the injury. Spoke to you on the Saturday rub a couple of weeks ago, but you must be getting close now on the, what is it, the pec or something?
Yeah. Back next week or the week after because of the bye. So hopefully we'll be able to do some 18 on 18 or whatever we do next weekend just to get the boys going for the final and then back first week of finals. So.
Is that what you'll do, will you? You play an 18 on 18 game next weekend?
I think we'll do some sort of match simulation, whether it's 18 on 18 or sort of a shorter version, but just to keep the legs ticking over, because obviously the bye, you can come off the bye a bit flat sometimes and you want to keep things rolling fairly smoothly.
Hey, Benny, is the bye a good thing?
For me, it's perfect.
Any injured player is going to say it's a good thing, Spotter.
Is that a thought shared by the rest of the group and the coaches?
I don't think so. And just
Clarko's not a fan.
He's flat on it.
No, the general feel in the AFL, and I tend to agree with it, is the week off sort of preparation-wise, it hinders you a little bit because you want to be going full steam ahead. And the whole season you build up to come right at this time of the year. And a week off sort of just, I don't know, it might sort of flatten you a bit. And then you win the first final and you have another week off. So, I don't know, we'll see how it goes and hopefully they might not have it next year.
Benny, don't you guys normally go on some sort of mini camp or mini holiday at the end of the home away season? Like whether it's Damien Moncourse property or don't you guys usually go somewhere to sort of mark the end of the home and away season?
Yeah, we do. It's been good the last 3 or 4 years. We've sort of put a stop to the end of the season and then had a little intro to the finals.
Sing around the campfire? Or
Yeah, get the guitars out and hit a kumbaya bit.
Marshmallows?
Last year we went out to Monkey's Farm. That was pretty special. So I think we've got something in store this year. I'm not sure what, but it's a good time to reflect on the season and the home and away season and then build yourself going to finals.
Wouldn't Clarko be in his absolute ultimate around a campfire? You do this better than me. BT, do you want to take it up?
No.
You know, like a rousing sort of motivation speech. No. In the night time, the flames flickering.
Dream time. Around the campfire. Continue on, please, Swatter.
Hey, Jack Fitzpatrick comes in and plays his first game today. Yeah, good story.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting for Jack, and he's actually a pretty keen Hawks supporter growing up, like quite a Hawks nerd. So it's pretty exciting for him, and to see him run around the G tonight, today, I'm pretty pumped.
Who is the nerd of nerds there? Speaking of nerds, who's the nerdiest Hawk player?
Football knowledge wise, you can't go past Sam Mitchell. He's pretty much already a coach. So
who's
it's
the
pretty
and who's the football? Well, you're saying that Sam's the football intellect, but...
Who's the dodo?
Yeah.
The dunce.
Who's the not-so sharp, sort of blunt?
I won't put anyone under the bus.
Benny, it's an amazing achievement. You're going for four straight flags. How's the hunger in the group? Do you sense that there's the same edge amongst everyone at the moment?
Definitely for sure. Especially... going down to Melbourne and then sort of losing against West Coast, that hunger's definitely there, and the boys are pretty keen. And then watching the new guys come through, like Fitzpatrick plays his first game in the last round, and then he could be a very important player going to finals. So those younger boys coming through, definitely pushing the older boys along and getting them pretty pumped.
What was the talk like during the week? Because last week you had Mitchell missing targets, Gibson missing targets, Hodgie missed a target going through the middle. Just very unlike all of those players.
Yeah, when Mitch missed the target, it's like, oh, we could be in a bit of strife here. He's probably a highest skilled player in the team, and if not the comp. So, I suppose we go for those kicks no matter what, and the boys are training hard during the week, and you sort of get over that. It's sometimes hard getting over a loss like that, but the boys have had a good week on the track, and I've been able to train a little bit with them, so it's a good feeling around the club.
Club announced during the week that I think four of your big stars were recontracted again next year. As a playing group, was there a conversation had with the younger players to get your take on that, or that's just purely a decision made by the coaches in the club?
Yeah, I think that's something they've been working through, especially the latter half of the year, and they would have wanted to get something locked away pretty soon, and especially having those guys on. They're such good players, but even for a coaching, mentoring type role, it's worth having those guys for sure.
All-Australian about to be announced this week, Ben. Who's the likely All-Australian at Hawthorn or Australians?
Oh, I think Mitch has had another good year. I reckon Cyril would be a definite. Who else? Birch is always solid. Like he just goes about his business.
No, don't give us the the ones that aren't going to make it. So far, I reckon Cyril, yes. Cyril. But I don't reckon Mitch is going to make it. Yes, go on.
Just answered your own question.
Wow.
Any others?
Isaac Smith's had a solid year.
Oh, yeah.
All
right.
Benny, Jagger O'Meara was the bombshell announcement this week, or one of them. Hawthorn linked to him all season. How happy would you be to have Jagger O'Meara, another WA boy, running around your side next season?
If you've seen the man's rig, it'd be nice to have him at the Hawks. He's a fit specimen, but that's something he'll have to decide, and the club will work through that if that's the path we go down. But I'm not too sure about that, to be honest.
Hey Benny, we were having a chat. There's a lot of conversation about Justin Lepich in Brisbane at the moment. I think Duck, we were having a conversation. Who's the next best potential candidate for a vacated job? And Duck raised this man's name, Brett Ratt, and his coach before. He's been at your club. Give us your take on Ratt and your involvement, what you see, and whether or not you think he's another coach in waiting if that opportunity ever presents itself again.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Rats as a person, firstly, is second to none. He's such a good nature, and he gets around the boys like no other. Like he's just one of the players, and especially what he's gone through this year, seeing him come through the other side and actually just stick to his task, and is really resilient. So I'd love to see him go on if that's what he wanted to do, and coach at a senior level again. I think he's definitely up for it, and he's got that hunger. But having said that, I'd be happy to have him as assistant any day in the years going forward, for sure.
Yeah, they missed you last week over in Perth, Benny, didn't they? The height that you bring to the back half.
Yeah, a few of the forwards, the West Coast forwards, got off the leash a little bit, Darling and especially Kennedy, and we saw again Kennedy yesterday. He's on fire, so stopping him going into finals will be huge. But the boys will bounce back this week, and I'm looking forward to it.
You're a Fitzroy operator, aren't you? That's what we've been told. Yeah. Do you ever see Brian around that area?
Yeah, I've been known to see Brian sitting in the corner there at the Napier.
Oh, hello.
Just dipping a few in.
Oh, hello, sailor.
couple. All right, we might say goodbye to Benny. So, Swatty, you do that.
Yeah, Benny, we appreciate you coming in. Good luck to your team today, and we hope that you get through next week and you're back for week one of the finals.
Thanks, guys. Pleasure.
All Australian Week is coming up this weekend, and we just touched with Ben Stratton about who might make it from Hawthorn. I think unanimously we all support that Cyril will make it, and probably
Mitch would be. He'd have to be in the conversation.
Well, I
sure.
think when it comes down to the team, I don't think he'll make it, but he's in the conversation for sure.
Yeah, really? He'll make the. But he won't definitely make the 40. That's so hard.
He has made the 40.
Yeah, well, you bat very deep through the midfield. You're talking guys like Hannabury. Parker, Kennedy, obviously Dangerfield, Selwood. You've got Dusty Martin, who's had
all
a
Australian
magnificent
ruckman,
career. Oh, Maxie Gawn.
Yep.
Maxie Gawn's the All-Australian ruckman.
It's been a big year, isn't it, for the bearded one?
By the way, his last 2 weeks has been...
Stunk it up.
Yeah. So will North have a representative in the All-Australian team?
Tarrant will be in the...
Or Brad Scott said he's a lock.
Tarrant will be in the 40.
We know who the 40 is, Doug. We don't know who the 22 are. Mate.
No way is he 26. In the head of McGovern or Rance.
So do you think North Melbourne will have a representative in the All-Australian?
Unfortunately, no. Oh. I don't think they will.
Gee. What about Selwood versus Scott Pendlebury?
I think Selwood will get in before Pendlebury. That's just a personal
It'd
opinion.
It'd be very unlucky to miss, I reckon, Scotty Pendlebury.
Scott.
Yeah. I tell you what, it's always hard. It's always open to conjecture. It's a tough job they have at times. But when do we find out the All Australian team?
I think it's Tuesday, is it, or Monday? Or
everyone
something?
Sort of generally has a crack at their own team.
Yep.
I've noticed today a couple of journos have had a crack at theirs and got it fairly wrong.
Robbo's got Zach Williams in. That was a surprise to me. Would you have Zach? Would Zach Williams be in your team?
I'm not sure Zach would be in. Heath Shaw definitely in from GWS, I would have thought. Dusty Martin, I reckon, is a lock from Richmond. I reckon Martin and obviously Rance from Richmond will get in.
Sydney have multiple?
I reckon Sydney will get 5 in.
Okay.
It's a lot.
5 in.
Luke Shuey?
I reckon Luke Shuey will miss out.
Andrew Gaff?
Gaff will miss out. Gaff had a better year last year, but I'll tell you what Gaff is doing, Swatter. He's coming into form at the right time. His last 3 weeks have been... He was involved in everything the other night. Every link had him in it.
You cannot let Andrew Gaff run without a man.
He's a running machine,
indeed.
Gaff.
All right, that's the All-Australian. Let's move on to the Tigers, Jay-Z. Damien Hardwick and what's going on down at Tigerland with the review. The review is still underway.
Yeah, Ernst & Young has been brought in to conduct a thorough forensic analysis of the football department. And this is everything. It's warts and all coaching. It's recruiting. They're in talking to every player on the list.
So just on that, I just want to know... What's the company?
Ernst & Young. Accounting firm,
so,
right?
Yeah,
extensive football
Who
knowledge.
In the Ernst & Young accountancy firm knows whether list management has been
spot
done?
Spot on.
Or knows whether Dimmer moved that guy to the half-back flank when he should have been moved to the goal square to win the game?
Bloody good question, BT.
A load of crap.
I don't know
it
why.
It can only be... For an independent review as opposed to somebody who's associated with the club. But Brian's point's a really well-made one.
Agree. Yeah, Brian Cook did it better than anyone at Geelong back in 2006 because...
Well, he knows footy.
Yeah. And he said it's the hardest thing he's ever done.
But look
football.
What happened, though.
Yeah. So it's a lot of work.
So why is Benny Gale involved in this audit?
Do you have the time to conduct, 100 hours of interview?
Brian Cook probably didn't, but he went through the effort and made it and invested that time.
Trotter, I'm with you. I'm with you on
strange
this.
Strange decision, Brian.
It is a strange one. So take us through what's going
to
happen.
That's the thing. So they're conducting this forensic review, and we had Brian Gale on, spoke very well. Benny Gale, about 3 weeks ago, and we asked him, will Damien Hardwick coach next year? And he said, yes, he will. My thought on that is, how does he know? What if the forensic review comes back, and they say, well, guess what? Half the list have got a big problem with the coach. We think there needs to be a change in the senior coaching department.
So they would have interviewed all players in this, would they?
They're doing that. I'm not sure that they're finished.
Right.
So we've spoken about, obviously, there'll be changes in the assistant coaching department and recruiting as well, we believe. But what if they say, but Dimmer's not up to it. And, 113-point loss last week. That's why I don't think Damien Hardwick's future is guaranteed
Played a lot of kids... Obviously, yesterday against Sydney, and once again, we tend to repeat ourselves a lot because we have to, well, we get asked to, I guess, BT. But you can't, and I'll say it again, you can't sack a coach off one bad year. Mm. Just like you don't re-sign them off one good one.
Very good.
Hardwick's, I guess, piece of work, which had been the last, let's say the last four.
Piece of work,
same
it's
thing.
It's a popular term.
It is the popular term.
Body of work, yeah. is the narrative. That he's got them to three consecutive finals in a row, albeit not a final win, but 15 wins. 15 wins last year.
Pretty good.
In the home and away. He's pretty solid. Good. So, yes, they've had a poor year for a number of different reasons, yeah. But don't sack him or try to push him to be sacked off the back of
that
year.
Would you agree with that, Swatter?
Yeah, and I don't think that they're ever going to entertain that because they made a decision last year to extend the contract. So if they were to terminate Damien Hardwick, I think that puts the people that made that decision under even more pressure.
Mm. Well, let's go to Nathan Brown on Channel 9 this morning. Had some very interesting comments to say about the morale at Richmond at the moment.
I spoke to someone at the footy club who's been there 20-plus years. They said, all the time I've been here, the morale has never been this low around the playing group. And they've been there through some dark times over the last 20-odd years. That was a big statement, which really surprised me, because I would have thought with a young list, which they do have, the morale would be very high, but that's pretty concerning.
Now, Nathan Brown, to me, would know exactly what's going on at Richmond, I believe. So, do we read anything into that, Duck?
Oh, look, you've got to take Brownie for his word. And if he's spoken to someone down there that he trusts and has been there, then I guess, you know, that's an opinion and it's an informed opinion by the sounds of it. But that morale
could be because they're not in the final.
Exactly. Because they're losing.
Yeah. And when you lose by that, by that sort of margin on the weekend.
It might not be because they think the coach is no good. It might simply be because they've had a bad year, yeah. And they feel they've let the coach down.
Well, Damien Hardwick said on Fox Footy, he said they think there'll be a quick bounce next year and they will go back into finals. That, to me, was a pretty bold call.
Based on what?
Yeah.
Based on having a full list available, Schwatter, and what they've done previously. He would have the utmost confidence in some of these players that have just had bad years in comparison to the last few.
But that'll be 18 months ago, Duck, when they start the next season.
And they expect to get Yaron. They expect him to get fit, and they expect, you know, a lot of, to get some more talent into the group as well.
Deion Prestia.
Yep.
Yeah. Where are Richmond at, Brian? You tell me.
Well, I'm not sure where they're at. With their full list available,
they could finish.
Their full list is good enough to play finals, but it is not good enough to win a premiership.
That's exactly right. So they could finish anywhere, like I reckon about 10 teams, from 6th to 14th. Mm.
Yep.
Next year.
Yep, I'd agree with that.
What do you reckon, Schwatter? Do you reckon they should hit up the draft and get 5 kids in the top 25?
I think they've got some good kids coming through. I think Elton's been pretty good over the last couple of weeks. I like Markov and what he's been able to do, Menadue. I'd like to see Richmond become really aggressive at the trade table, recruit in some class. And I think that we've had this conversation for the last couple of weeks, but I think they've got to make a couple of bold decisions with regards to perhaps trading out to trade in and get some A-grade class.
Who do they trade out then? Jack was pretty strong last week about...
Jack was strong during the course of the week.
So if it's not him and it's not Deledio, then it's Conker and...
Jack doesn't get the choice, though.
No, that's right.
Jack's not making the decision.
And Reece Conker, with all due respect to Reece, is not someone that's going to really whet the appetite of another club to offload an A-grader.
Brandon Ellis?
Well, he's gone back. There was that last year, when you look at the 15 wins that they had, it was that next wave of players that had had pretty good years. Vlosten had come through. And I think one of the other things, and we've talked about this a lot this year, is they made a decision a couple of years ago to go and get the likes of Sean Grigg, Sean Hampson, Basher Hawley, other clubs.
Yeah, but what were they looking for in those mature players? They were looking for kickers. They were the best that they could find at that stage. So Grigg, left foot kick. Yeah. Basher Hawley's become their quarterback off halfback. But in reality, in comparison to other clubs, yes, he is a good kicker and he is a designated kicker.
Not elite.
But he's not absolutely at the top end. Like, they probably need two or three others.
Yeah, the Yaron decision's been, it's just hasn't paid any dividends, unfortunately, for the Tigers and Chris Yaron. And if he's a player that can get healthy and can get fit, he's going to be a welcome addition to their group again next year.
Late change for the Hawks, fellas, has come through. Ben McAvoy out. And Mark Pitanay in for the Hawks.
Okay,
so well, uh, we without Segler McAvoy and now without out. McAvoy. Mm. So Alistair Clarkson is having a real look at what he's underneath.
Okay. And just a text coming through to me. One duck was spotted talking to a high-profile forward.
Another Jesse. Jesse Hogan.
Not the forward whisperer again.
In recent hours.
Well, you're always having a scone with Jesse Hogan.
This morning.
Not Jesse Hogan.
This morning?
Another one.
I think because Jesse sort of waned off a bit, I think Wayne's off him. And he's no longer Wayne's favourite pupil. I think it might have gone to someone's participating in the finals.
He explained that.
Just jump ship.
Have you had coffee with a prominent big tall forward that's playing quite well at the moment?
Well, I didn't have a coffee. I had a green tea.
Right.
But, yeah, no, I caught up.
Where was it at?
It was in South Yarra, at a little French place there on Domain Road.
Really? Yes. Cross on?
And, no, Johnny Patton.
Oh,
you know what?
General.
He's been on fire.
This is the thing. I've always said that, no, he reached out to me.
As they all do, Brian.
I don't reach.
They all do.
I don't go seeking them, BD.
Boy.
But if when I, and you know what, I often get North Melbourne people say, why don't you come down there and help Mad Jack and why don't you do this and do that? Well, they've never rang me, so I'm not going to ring them.
Oh, boy.
And Johnny made contact and I caught up with him and he kicked five.
Now, what was the essence of the conversation, Dak?
What are you at liberty to tell us about the conversation, or would John prefer to keep that personal?
No, I think it's a personal thing, but you talk everything footy and what's going on. And he's an impressive young man, and good to see him in the finals. They're going to finish fourth, and I think they're going to finish fourth. If obviously the Hawks win today, they do, I think. Is that what we're thinking?
Yep.
So, you know, he gets to play some finals footy, BT.
I love the secret meetings of Duck. And I just... Duck, just take us behind the... Just take us behind the duck curtain. And
careful, Brian.
Has there... Like, have you met with someone else in the last week or so? Like, has there been someone else that you've sat down with? I'm not saying there is. I'm just wondering.
No.
Because I reckon you have these meetings all the time.
People
wanting to seek you out.
What do the players ask you? About positioning? About timing of marks? Generally speaking, what are they saying?
All sorts of stuff. All sorts of stuff.
Like what?
Well, just general stuff, you know.
Where to lead?
Mental preparation. You talk about, you know, how they're going, what they're doing. The thing about it, and to do it absolutely properly, this is just a catch-up, and I've got nothing to do with him kicking five goals last night.
Oh,
I mean,
boy,
clearly...
He's mentioned it twice.
No, but I haven't. But given that, you know, if you're going to do it properly, like if you're seriously going to sit down with Jesse Hogan or Johnny Patton, then you would go through their
edits.
You'd go through their edits and their tapes like their forward coaches would. And you know what? You've got to give these guys a tick, because all that they're trying to do is they're trying to further their knowledge and career. It'd be remiss of players not to seek out people that they think could help them.
How does someone like he get your phone number? How does he get onto you?
Through mutual friends.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Who is the best young forward going around at the moment, Duck? Is it Jesse? Is it Tom Boyd? Who do you think?
Well,
who would you have?
Well, right now, Johnny Patton's kicked six and five. He's in good form and he's in the finals, which is great. But I think the kid that's got more upside than anyone is Darcy Moore. I rate him really highly. The problem that he might have, BT, is whether his body can withstand the rigours of AFL footy. He's slightly built. He'll put on some weight, but
have you had a green tea there?
He can. not yet. He can. He has got. And the thing that he does better than all of the other young forwards, I think, is his goal kicking. He's technically nearly perfect.
Yep. And he's got the athleticism that the other guys don't have, doesn't he? Like, he jumps on heads.
He's genuine. He's got genuine speed. He's got good endurance. He's got a massive leap. He marks the ball really well and he kicks it well.
Johnny Wurstfelder would be delighted with the way the Bombers finished off, wouldn't he, Swat?
Wrapped, I would have thought.
Yep.
Absolutely wrapped.
He's on the line now and he joins us. John, appreciate your time. Congratulations on the win.
Yeah, thanks very much.
You must be pretty happy with the way it's all gone this year. I know you haven't won a lot of games, but you've certainly been competitive in most, and that's what you set out to do.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was obviously a year that we were rocked in the middle of January, and everything took a different twist from there, and I thought the way the whole footy club, from all the list management guys that managed to round up our 10 short-term contract players and add them to our list and boost the areas we thought we needed to be able to at least hold up this year. Everyone really pulled their weight. It was a massive extra workload, but no one complained, and you know, we were fairly happy with the results.
Washer, who's surprised you the most out of these young men? Has it been McDonald, Tippin, Woody? He has just been marvellous. And I've loved the fact that you started him in defence and now you've pushed him forward. So you know he can play both ends.
Yeah, look, he has been remarkable. There's a lot of people that, when I first was appointed, mentioned him and said that this kid plays in the VFL and he's a bit of a fan favourite in the VFL, but hadn't really been consistent and really dominated, but they saw something in him. And then he came and sat down with me and introduced himself and said, I really want to play AFL footy and I'm prepared to do whatever it takes. And you know, straight away you could see that he meant it, and he put all the things into place to get himself there, and he's been great this year.
Is it right, Washer, that he used to go up to Adrian Dodoro, your list manager, last year every week and knock on his office and basically beg Adrian to get him onto the senior list?
Well, yeah, there's a few stories that go around like that. He was working in the and helping out the club with some of their multicultural programs 1 or 2 days a week. So he was around regularly, and I've got no doubt he was making himself known to everyone and saying, remember me and make sure you watch me in the VFL this week.
Hey, Washer, would he have been given the opportunities this year had you not the club not been in the position where you had to play without your 12 players?
Well, yeah, that is a really interesting question, because it's hard to say yes or no. You would like to think that on our rookie list, if his performances in the VFL warranted it, we would have tried to have a look at getting him into the lineup. But who knows how well the team would have been functioning and whether there was ever going to be an opportunity. And it probably goes the same for Jake Long as well. Coming off the rookie list late in the year to get an opportunity to play. That's a lot of people said that they thought Jake was miles off it last year as well.
So, Washer, what do you do now? Given the fact that those players missed out on playing a full season, you've now got to combine them with the ones that have played a full season. What's in the back of your mind for pre-season, and whether it should start early, late? Are you worried that these guys haven't played for a while? Do you want to start them off early? What are you planning?
Yeah, at the moment, the plan is that the guys will continue their training program for another week or two that they're doing with Sean Wellman. And then I think they're going to have a bit of a break and then ramp up for and do their own, what they would normally do in their off-season. They obviously they'll have programs to follow. And the full group are back training on the 21st of November, but the younger players start on the 7th. And the plan is at this stage they'll all start on the 7th of November with the younger players.
Washer, tell us what's happening with Job Watson and what sort of mental space he's in at the moment.
Yeah, well, Job's been overseas for a big chunk of the year now and training over there, so enjoying himself. He's obviously away from the day-to-day hype of the AFL, but he's keeping an eye on it. He's certainly been trying to follow Essendon's progress. But
does he want to play?
Hasn't met a girl over there, Woosh, has he?
Yeah, I don't know all the answers to all those questions. I'm sure he's a single man, so I'm sure he's hoping he's met a girl over there, but at some point.
Does he want to play, Woosh?
Well, yeah, that's the big question. And that's what he's got to be absolutely... You don't want to come back and say, I'm going to come back onto the list and get halfway through a pre-season and start questioning whether your passion's there or not. So he wants to make sure of that, and I think that's the wisest thing he can do. And I'm not sure what it's going to be that will just dawn on him one day to ring us and say, I'm in, or whatever his decision is. But, I keep in contact with him, and I really enjoy my... at the moment, it's only via text message, but when he's back, I'm really looking forward to catching up and sitting down and talking about what we achieved this year and what we want to achieve next year.
So when will that be, Washer? When do you expect to catch up with him to find out the answers to these very important questions?
Yeah, I would guess probably about 3 weeks, something like that, 3 or 4 weeks.
Have you seen any of the guys? I've only seen photos and things like that. There's been a bit of vision. Yep. Heppel looks super, super fit. Any of the guys come back with a little bit of extra pudding around the stomach? Do you know, Washer?
No, they're all in pretty good shape. Yeah, they're running well. You know, from all accounts, that their bodies feel really fresh. I know talking to Tom Bell Chambers, you know, he said he's running pain free for the first time for years in terms of, you know, ankle injuries that you just keep carrying and playing on through. And you know, that's a real bonus. Dyson carried a little bit of groin soreness last year, and that was lingering at the start of the pre-season, but that's all cleared up. So, look, they are in really good shape physically and mentally now.
Last one, Woosha. Jagger O'Meara, how much interest do you have in luring this young man to Tullamarine?
Oh, look, he would, yeah, he'd definitely complement our list and where we're heading. So he's obviously a wonderful talent, and we'll definitely be keen to see what his thoughts are in terms of moving to Melbourne and you know, whether he's got any interest in playing for Essendon or not.
Well, we're very keen to see how your mob perform next year, Woosha. It's going to be exciting stuff. Appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
John Worsfold, coach of the Bombers.
He's done a great job. He really has. And I've loved how he speaks about his players. It's a real teaching mentality that he's taken to the club, and a real positivity given what they've been through. I just reckon he's handled himself. You couldn't have handled yourself any better.
And I reckon he's learnt big time from the West Coast experience.
No doubt. And that's probably part of the thinking why Essendon went after him. The great question you asked about Jagger O'Meara, you asked the majority of the footballing people, no, hasn't played for 2 years. There was none of that in his answer. Yep. They're keen to get him to the club if he's keen to go to the club.
And what, how that would change the feeling, vibe, buzz at the club if they go from the past couple of years to all of a sudden they've got one of the best young players the game's seen over the past 10 years. Be a great fillip.
And each time we come back from the break, I've been giving you an all-Australian fact. The last one was that North, I don't think, in my opinion, will have a representative in the team, even though Robbie Tarrant is probably going to be unlucky to miss out. Also think, in my opinion, I was reading the one of the papers today, I can't remember which one, of the journos didn't have this player actually in his team. Hey. I think he might actually be the captain.
Hey, who's that?
Joel Selwood, I think, will be the captain of the All-Australian side, but couldn't quite make it into the paper as...
He'd be a good choice, wouldn't he?
Person in the team today.
I totally agree with that.
All right. Well,
not often agree.
I'll continue to give you my All-Australian facts throughout the day. But Alan Tovey has joined us here in the commentary box for Triple M Footy. And we welcome you, Toves. Good on you. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me in here.
Well, been a great career. You've decided to give it away. What was the number one thing in your mind as to you thinking, gee, I need to get off this merry-go-round? Why?
Well, basically because I couldn't perform as well as I wanted to and wasn't enjoying it. I think, you know, I've been around for 11 years at the club, and once you kind of start getting a bit older, it's harder and harder to come up every week, and I wasn't able to, you know, perform at the level that I was hoping to, and you know, it's harder, it just got too hard, I think. So I wasn't enjoying my footy, and so I thought good time to finish up.
Have you had these conversations with Nathan Buckley? Like, do you sort of talk to him about your footy as you go along? Was he clear that you were sort of, your love for the footy had gone a bit?
I think so. During the season, I kind of sat down with him a couple of times and spoke about, you know, where he sees me in what role at the club, and spoke about how things are going. So when I told him that I was going to retire, he said, you know, he's like, okay, I thought that might be coming.
Yeah.
And we had a really good discussion about it, and I think he totally understood, like, where I was coming from, and was happy with it.
Toofs, how important has your manager been through that process, seeking counsel from him with regards to what you think you should do? Did you do that much, or it was mostly with Bucks?
Well, my manager asked me what I wanted to do, and I said I'm going to finish up at the end of the year, and that was pretty much it. So,
all right.
Yeah.
What about coaches? The game's evolved. The professionalism of it's changed a lot. You had Mickey Malthouse, obviously, and then Bucks.
Yeah.
Massive differences. And does that play a part, the fact that the game's evolved into this ultra-professional sort of game and you know, maybe not as much fun as it used to be?
Definitely different coaching personalities. But I think, you know, every coach you get is going to be a little bit different. But for me, the professional side of it wasn't an issue. I think I was always pretty good with that. It's more just, you know, I heavily relied on my athletic ability. And when that kind of starts to go, then I've kind of decreased in my output, and then, yeah, enjoyment levels dropped.
Do you listen to, well, you can't listen if you're out there playing, but JB's call when you're playing. Have you ever heard any feedback when...
The possum eyes?
Yeah.
I hear a lot of feedback about it. I've heard 11 years worth of feedback. That started, yeah, my first...
Has it been, do you like that, or do you not like it?
No, I like it. I think it's funny. I like the, you know, the nicknames and everything like that. It's good. It's a big part of footy. I think it's the more the better. Yeah, that was round one, or my first game that I ever played was a Friday night game, and you know, they were telling me about the possum court and possum eyes, and it stuck around. Every year when the new group of young boys come in and someone calls me possum, they kind of look at me as if, am I allowed to say that? That's been fun. I liked it.
So at the start of the our show today, Duck came in and he said, the sun is shining, the grass is green. You know, these are the Doves you love to play on, one of the Wakeland twins, because he used to tell him up. Who did you think you had the wood over, you know, from a defensive point of view? Was it, am I thinking Jack Darling, or who did you sort of think? You had the wood. Come on, mate. You can say it.
Well, Darling, I played pretty well on him a few times when he was, you know, in really good form. But I think the last couple of times I played against him, he's done pretty well. So I don't think there was anyone that I actually, you know, ever gave a massive hiding to. There was a lot of guys that I played on a lot, you know, every time we play against Essendon for my first few years. I'd always play on Andrew Lovett. And, you know, he would sometimes have a really good game, sometimes wouldn't, but some things he would used to say is like, oh, I'm just going to sneak down to the forward pocket there. Just you just stay over here, get a few kicks, and I'll get a few kicks, and we'll both look good, and things like that. It's just, there's a few different players I've played on, but no one in particular I ever really got excited about.
So what's next, Toof? Are you going to go and play football somewhere else at a lesser level, or are you coaching, or you're an academic? What's the future?
I don't think I'll have any involvement in footy. I'm not really...
Really?
Yeah, we'll just give the body a rest for a while. I think I'm looking forward to having a weekend where I, you know, finish up work on a Friday night and be able to just sit back and enjoy and do whatever I want on the weekend. And I wouldn't mind travelling a bit. So, you know, footy's not great when you...
So what might that job be for you?
I'm not sure yet. I've got an exercise science degree that I did at footy. So, I haven't really worked it out.
So Nathan Buckley at the weekend said that early in his coaching career, the club lost the locker room, which was a pretty interesting comment. And I was just wondering what your take was on that sort of 2012-2013 period, whether you felt, as one of the key players in there, that was the case.
No, I think footy's definitely changed from when I first started to now. 11 years, I guess, is a fairly long time, but culture of footy's changed a lot. I think, you know, the young guys come in and they're already known, you know, guys that are high draft picks are expected to play well their first season, things like that. So I think the professionalism's gone up, you know, a couple of notches, and the way players behave around clubs is a lot different. You know, even just having a lot of women working at clubs changes the way people have to behave and be different. So I think things are changing, some for the good, some for the maybe not so good, but it's changed, but everything changes, I guess.
Clearly, 2010 Premiership is the highlight, and then you back that up another grand final year after. Youngest grand final team in
2010, for a history? Long time, maybe.
Is it history or anyway?
It was like 23 and a half years of age, the average age.
Yeah, we haven't got two men. You obviously thought that was going to go on maybe a little bit longer than what it did.
Yeah, well, we were hoping it would. We had 2 years there. I think we only lost three games in the whole 2011 season, and we hadn't lost a game for the second half of 2010 season. So footy was a lot of fun back then. We kind of, some games were over at quarter time. But we had a lot of guys leave and, you know, retire and move on. So the group changes pretty quickly. From sitting back thinking, oh, we can win, you know, a few premierships, we'll play a lot of finals, and to dropping off, you know, fairly quickly is a bit disappointing. But
Think in hindsight, now you look back, that, because I agree with you, I thought that period then, you played another grand final in 2011, and I thought the side maybe had another one or two grand finals in them before that era came to an end as well. Did you think that?
Hoping so. I think we lost the prelim to Sydney the year after that. And that was a pretty difficult time. We had, when John McCarthy passed away the week before that when we played West Coast. So that was like a, you know, challenging time for a lot of players at the club. But yeah, we kind of reached the top and then came back down fairly quickly.
Hey, Nick Maxwell had it over a certain Carlton player, and I'm led to believe that you may have been the reason you may have just gone up to this Carlton player once upon a time and just stoked his fire somewhat. Now that you're out of the game, if you've got the VFL to play, you're not playing today. You can
name,
you
name,
can,
Trotter.
You can name names.
Oh, Maxie,
tell us the story.
No, well, I'll tell you the story. I remember it was probably one of the first times I think Jeff Garlett played against us. He was playing for Carlton at the time, and Maxie nailed him pretty hard a few times and was always looking for him. Yeah, Maxie didn't like the fact that he, you know, used to get a fair bit of the ball out the back,
yeah.
And he was always fired up when we would go out for the games. And I said to Jeff at the start of one of the games, I said, why does Maxie not like you? And I said, I don't know. I've never met him. I was like, well, you must have done something to him. But I don't know. There might have been a few people that thought Maxie didn't like him. But I don't know.
Well, Toobs, when players set out in their careers in search of a premiership, not many of them get it. In fact, probably about 1% in the end get hold of the ultimate goal. You've been able to achieve that in 2010 and along the way played a number of great games as well with the biggest club in Australia. So congratulations on what has been a great career.
Well done, mate.
Thanks a lot.
And just before we let you go, one more time, JB doing his thing with Alan Toovey. Here it is as we bid you farewell. Well done, Toovs.
Thank you.
Toovey's a good defender and he's just wrapped up Merritt.
Oh, possum eyes.
Yeah, and the full lights on now.
Well,
so
they are. The lights are on and the pupils are...
It's not just pupil, but it's eyeball.
Yeah, the eyeball.
Outside of the skull and in. It's how he's always been with the lights.
All right, there you go, Alan Toovey. Well done on a great career. Premiership player, Alan Toovey.
Just another All-Australian fact before we push on to another category here. And just noticing that also in today in one of the papers, they've forgotten to include my bolter, my what? Best bolter to make the All-Australian side.
Yeah.
And everyone's been talking about Eddie Betts and all of this thing in the fourth pocket and all that sort of crap. Eddie, yes.
Well, Eddie will get in.
Yeah, he's been good.
Yeah.
And he'll get in. But don't forget about Toby Green.
Oh,
now, he's not named in that side either. No. Toby will make the All-Australian side.
He has been very, very good.
Yep. He's got a good eye for talent, Brian.
No doubt about that.
It's a quirky one to put up.
He's had a great year, Toby Green.
I hope you're writing
why
all those
am I,
down.
Why am I scribbling agreeing with you a lot?
Oh, boy. The coaching merry-go-round. Can we start with Brisbane and Justin Lepich, Jay-Z?
Yep. There'll be a board meeting tomorrow morning, I believe, at 10 o'clock. A video link-up with any of the directors who aren't in Queensland. And I believe this currently will be, in fact, I'm sure of it, Justin Lepich. Which is last game as Brisbane coach.
What?
Yeah, he's done. Done like a dinner. They'll be looking for a new coach. The Lions, the AFL, will oversee the process. They'll have a fair bit of input into that. And there'll be a total revamp of the Brisbane Lions. The footy department, resources, everything.
Will
so,
Greg Swan survive as the CEO?
Yeah, I think so. Yep. Yeah, of course. I don't know why he wouldn't be there. He's been handed a lemon, let's be honest. The club's
right.
$13 million in debt, and it's just a full rescue operation, probably worse than Melbourne, 5 years ago. So they're in trouble up there. Jared Healy said just the other day at a function that the Suns and Lions were in a death cycle, and I sort of agree.
In a death cycle?
Yeah, that... you know, they're just getting worse and worse, and players are leaving, and it needs genuine AFL intervention to save them.
Mm. What else is happening on the coaching merry-go-round?
I think Gary Hocking, Geelong champion.
Order.
I think he will...
Whiskers.
I think he will move on from Port Adelaide. I think in their coaching changes, he'll be the first one to go. He'll get the tap on the shoulder and will leave. Maybe back to Melbourne. Maybe he'll have a chat with the Adelaide Crows and could go there. But I think as Port Adelaide try and revamp their footy program after two very disappointing years, you'd have to say, BT.
Yeah, they have. Yep.
I think Gary Hocking will be moved on from there. So we may.
Well, they have to do something there, don't they? But I think it's going to be need a little bit more than that to revitalise the place.
Yeah, they've already said they're going to the draft.
Re-energise.
They've got to look to, of course, they get Paddy Ryder back in. You know, Charlie Dixon. Probably didn't have the year they were hoping.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll all work itself out there at Port Adelaide. Hey, Brenton Sanderson. So I think it's been widely talked about, you know, in the media and in footy the past 2 weeks that he will join Collingwood.
Yep.
But I think Melbourne are up to their ears in the race for Brenton Sanderson.
They've already got a high-calibre coaching panel.
But what you have to think about, BT, is Paul Ruse leaves, Simon Goodwin becomes coach, and they've got a hole there.
It's an interesting discussion about the assistants at Clubland, because what do you want, BT? Do you want assistants that are just going to be yes men?
No, you want assistants.
Or do you want assistants that are going to challenge you?
A varying of views.
And challenge you.
Yeah.
Challenge your senior coach. Yeah, not just be a yes sir, you three
need,
bag full.
Not only that, but they need to bring in a skill set that the club doesn't have at the table at the moment.
I totally agree with that.
I think you need one yes sir, how many bags full.
Right.
And so in our coaching box, who's that?
It's Duck today with Brian.
Yeah.
Well, I've agreed with some really strong thoughts with BT like today.
Sad, but it's what I avoid. No, you do need a yes man, but then...
Only one.
And then the rest need to be objective.
And then you and I, the agitators.
They have to be strong.
We take it
have strong opinions and be able to challenge, be strong enough to challenge the senior coach.
Part of the coaching merry-go-round almost is the Gubby versus Barmy or Gubby... and Barmy combination.
If that comes to fruition, that will be four within the last 5 years.
Rubber stamp.
Footy managers.
Footy managers at Collingwood. Well, four really... in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Well, if I was... In fact, I think Neil, behind the scenes at Collingwood, Neil Barm is not loving it, I reckon. I reckon that he'd be less than impressed.
Where would Barmy go? He's been a great
he should go to Richmond. But is it true that...
Say again, what was that?
Is it true that Buckley, he should go to Richmond? It's the obvious place.
I think he'd join up
with Dan Richardson. Dan could do,
replace Dan.
List management.
Mm.
But because that's what his skill is. His real skill is that. But what was I going to say?
Barmy.
Is it true that Gubby had lunch with Pendles and one or two others the other day at a hotel? It was
Pullman Hotel.
In one of the papers?
Yeah, I think they may have had a catch-up.
Jeez, Barmy wouldn't be... excited about that. I wouldn't have thought not being included in that.
Surprising to me and people around Neil Barm, because Collingwood poached him from Geelong and he's loved at that place because he's a common sense footy man.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't get caught up in anything that's, you know, not all that relevant.
Barmy's not the same?
Well, that's what I'm talking... Barmy is, Barmy. Yeah.
Sorry, I thought you were talking about Gubby.
No, Barmy is just a common sense footy man. He calls a potato a potato. So, look...
I think Gubby's strength is obviously list management, isn't it?
Well, he knows all the back doors.
But he's a football manager with the list management skill set.
Mm. Yeah, and he's got all the ties, obviously, with the GWS guys. He's very close friends with Eddie. And you look at the job he's done at GWS and, you know, it's been excellent. So I think he's coming in to really crank up their draft and trade performances.
Would the AFL, given that they're going to oversee what Brisbane do, I mean, I agree with BT. I think if Barmy does leave the Pies, Richmond's an obvious choice. But Barmy would be a good operator to go to Brisbane also to support Swanee, would he not?
Yeah, I'm not sure he wants to head north.
Not at age 60, is he?
Schwatter. No, I think he's sort of done a lot of that really heavy lifting. I think he would just slot in at Richmond and just sort of oversee things there, be a bit of a right-hand man for Damien Hardwick, take some of the pressure off him and, you know, just add such an experienced, a knowledgeable voice in the footy department. I think he'd be absolutely perfect for the Tigers.
Barmy's been great. I mean, he was great at Geelong. He's been great at Collingwood.
He's no nonsense, isn't he?
He's no nonsense. He's just a great guy, great communicator.
Yep.
Players love him.
Yep.
Players love him. So wherever Barmy goes, whether he stays or goes, he's good.
Hey, can I just ask a question, BT?
Yes, please. As the Hawks come out onto the ground here?
Just on Brenton Sanderson, right? Mm-hmm. So just say his two options are Collingwood with one of his best mates, Nathan Buckley, whose future is uncertain beyond next season. Buckley says that. Or he goes to Melbourne, you know, what, 3 or 4 years there with Simon Goodwin.
Well, that's what he's going to get, isn't he? He's not going to get that at Collingwood.
No. So what do you think would appeal more? Or if Simon says, Brenton says, BT, damn, I don't know what to do.
No,
what do you think?
Well, if you went to Collingwood and I was him and the Buckley year, you've got one more year until you decide what you're doing with Buckley, right?
Yep.
So
pressure cooker.
It could be all bets off.
Yep.
Not so much the pressure cooker element, but I'd be saying to Collingwood, if I'm going to commit and come to Collingwood, I'm not coming for 1 year.
Mm.
And, you know, maybe there's another job for me at Collingwood if someone else moves on. So I'd be wanting some assurity that it's more than a year deal.
What do you think the prospects of, would Melbourne appeal?
No, probably.
Simon Goodwin, you know, team on the up, etc.
Yeah, possibly.
For Barmy?
No, sorry, for Simon. Brent Sanderson.
But that's another good fit for Barmy, given that he coached Melbourne before. Back to Melbourne could be a...
Yeah, they're Josh Marnie there. I think he's a good operator.
So that's about it with the coaching merry-go-round. I'm sure there are lots of
changes. I think Buddha hocking out of Port, Melbourne into Brenton Sanderson, and I think this is it for Justin Lepich.
All right, we're going to take a break. Just before we do, Duck, just another All-Australian fact.
You're on fire, Brian.
Do you know the team, Brian?
No, I don't, but I've just been thinking about it because I've been spun into action by an article. a team. Corey Enright.
Oh,
Boris.
Lock. Absolute lock.
100%.
You two are finishing each other's sentences.
I think Corey Enright to lock for it. He's had arguably his best ever season.
Yeah.
He's a lock on a half black flank without a doubt, or back pocket.
23 rounds, Jay-Z, and they're finally on the same page, the King and BT. Beautiful. It is beautiful.
The synergy.
Could even find himself on the half back flank. All Australian fact, Zach Williams won't make it. By the way, interesting.
I've marked all these down, boys, to see whether they're 100% strike rate. I reckon.
You've got to back over it if he gets them wrong.
Yeah.
By the way, no one backing over it just yet. The EJ Witten game coming up next Friday night. Now, this game is, of course, all the legends. It's a field of incredible players, Swatter. Mm. You're involved, Duck's involved, Richo, everyone's involved, and it's a big field. EJ Witten Legends match, Friday night, Etihad Stadium. I believe ticket sales are booming, so make sure you get in quick, otherwise you may well miss out.
Standalone game, Brian.
Yep.
Biggest show in town.
Good teams.
You know what? They are really, really good squads. The All-Stars, Big Mods, Richo.
Best squads I've seen for years.
Yeah, they are. There's some
the
big
Victorian
names.
Team is unbelievable.
What about this for a forward line? Jonathan Brown, this is the Vicks. Jay Brown, Brereton. Hall, Chris Johnson. No, he'll be in the back pocket. Brad Johnson, in the forward pocket. I mean, that is unbelievable. And have Chappie on the other flank, Paul Chapman. Mm. That's not a bad forward line, Swatter.
Happy with that, Duck?
I'm worried that Richo's the captain, though, because he's never captained a team, and I'm just uncertain of his leadership qualities.
I've got to be honest, it's concerning me a little. I've had a chat to the coach on Friday night. I was over in Adelaide.
Who's the coach?
Mark Rusciuto is coaching.
Oh, right.
And I had a little bit of a chat with the coach, and he's a bit concerned about the skipper as well.
Right.
Just had a chat where and what we might do depending on what the Vicks bring and where I might line up.
A bit of a rumour that Fevelenko could be involved in the
commentary.
Yeah, I didn't say it. You did.
Right. I don't think it's a secret.
Are you calling it, Brian?
Yeah. So
I am.
Oh. Yeah. So BT.
There'll be a couple of guys that try a bit too hard from both sides. I would have thought.
Possibly.
Chappie would be one.
Luffy.
Luffy. Games record holder for the Legends.
You know what?
Commentary box is going to be down in between the two benches, raised above the seats there.
Right.
So
we'll hear you bagging us.
And you can interact.
I'll tell you what I do want. I would love Barry Hall to just go down and just saddle up next to Luffy.
Jason Ackermanis playing.
Acker.
Yeah, he's in there. And Brad Johnson is as well.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. No,
that'll be interesting.
It's a good Lingy. He's obviously in there. He'll tag someone.
I must say, the feeling about this particular game, there's a really good... It's almost as if the EJ Witten Legends game is back on track, Brian.
It's almost like...
On a serious note.
Been reborn.
Yeah.
Triple M will be simulcasting it. The call as well.
Danny Southern for the All-Stars. Bulldog star back in the day. Ran into Mark Bickley, the Crows Premiership captain.
Well, he's done more laps of honour
and
goodbye laps than any other player in history. He's up to 32.
he's more comebacks than John Farnham.
And the man that's played probably 50 EJ games, Sean Smith, who's taken the mark of the century on Gary Lyon, if you remember.
What happens after the game?
Recovery, ice baths.
Well, you all get together.
Mods is in. I'll be hanging around with him. he's a good one to hang around.
But this not just the game. Part of the involvement and the fun for the players is the day before when they all come together. You know, have a few drinks on the Thursday night before the game. And
do they?
Well, yeah, they'll be brought over on the first.
The players that are coming from interstate? Yes. You mean? Yeah. They generally get together.
Anyway, so that's the EJ Whitten game.
Nicky Widmer?
Not at this stage. Melbourne debacle. Jay-Z, got a couple of words on that?
Yeah, I was there yesterday, and Melbourne were really poor. 111-point loss was Paul Roo's last game as coach. I was in the rooms afterwards, and you could have heard a pin drop basically the whole time. I think the Melbourne players caught up for a bit of an after-season function last night. It was sort of organised a long time ago. Would have been great to celebrate all their growth this season, but as I understand, it was pretty flat and sombre affair. And all over pretty quickly last night.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a shame, wasn't it? Because Paul Roos has done great things at the D's, and for them to finish on that sort of note would have left a little bit of a sour taste, I would think.
Cloak today, farewell game for Trav Cloak.
I reckon it's his last game at Collingwood. In fact, I'm sure of that. I just wonder whether today becomes an emotional occasion for him, because, I mean, I suspect he would know that as he puts on his boot laces.
Oh, he would know now.
This morning. So, you know, do you think he could? It's an emotional day for him.
Nathan Buckley has said he keeps repeating that. Well, he's a contracted player. Why does he keep repeating that?
Well, because
maybe
he
they
is
want to get something
fact.
For him.
Because he is.
Yeah.
He is a contracted player. Yeah. I guess that's why he's saying it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean anything.
And they want to you know, if they're going to trade him, they want value.
You know what?
So they don't want to get a fifth round pick for him.
They've bought. Just remember, though, that they've brought him back in because he has deserved to be brought back in.
And in Bucks' word, he's next in line for that position.
That's right.
After Darcy
Moore. And he's played well.
9 goals in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yep.
What do you think is the best fit for him, though? Richmond or Dogs?
Oh, no, I'm not sure about the Dogs. This team we're watching today, the Hawks, they wouldn't mind.
The only thing with the Dogs, Duck, is with Redpath out next year, I know Cramery comes back in, but with Redpath out, they might be just looking for someone for a year.
They've got Boyd there.
Yeah.
That holds up. If they bring a Cloak, does that hold up Boyd's development in that forward line? It probably does.
Vickery, Jay-Z, I'm hearing, you know, I've been hearing a little bit of, but I'm
well,
hearing
good today.
A 3-year deal at Hawthorn. That's what I'm hearing. Are you hearing that or not?
Yeah, strong, very strong in the footy community that he will join the Hawks, just play the David Hale role, Schwatter, which would suit him perfectly, wouldn't it?
Oh, it's an extraordinary performance for Brian today. He has nailed everything.
He's just hearing a lot.
Let's zip through some more trade talk for us.
Yeah, so Jager O'Meara leaving Gold Coast, and David Swallow, who is his very good mate, is unhappy that the Suns chairman, Tony Cochran, has called Jager out for his disloyalty, etc. And I believe there has been a confrontation between David Swallow and some of the Suns officials over the treatment. And he's pretty keen to get out of there as well, as I understand it. So particularly North Melbourne would be his preferred option. It's where his brother is. He's had some medical treatment there with the magic man, Steve Saunders. So it's a natural fit. But the Suns are just in a bit of a crisis mode at the moment. They can't afford to lose Jager, Dion Prestia to Richmond, and also David Swallow.
All right, it's time now for...
This is Wayne Carey's Duck Shit.
Who was the worst player to come back in the worst shape after a pre-season that you played with or knew about?
Well, off the top of my head, I reckon Choppy, Byron Pickett, used to come back. He would spend the first part of pre-season. He'd come back, he'd discover the turtle.
Yep.
And he'd come back and just spend all the pre-season catching up, doing the extra sessions at 5 a.m. All pre-season, just to get himself in good nick.
Is it true that he tried to fly a car over the Dynon overpass?
I don't know about that, did he?
Oh, boy. Who came back in the best shape then?
Apart from yourself.
The best shape? Oh, John Blakey, probably. He was always...
The Temple.
The Temple. That was his nick. You know, we called him the Temple. I don't get that sort of nickname.
Wow.
What was your best beep test result? Mine's 13.5, but what was yours, Dan?
Jeez.
15.5.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. And did a 3K before it.
From where?
That's from
home.
Yeah.
What would be your approach for a team having the first week of the finals off, getting ready for their first final in 2 weeks' time, Duck?
Yeah, I don't like it. Now, I think if you're here, it just depends on who you are. And we spoke to Ben Stratton earlier today. And like he said, for him, it's great. And for any players that are a bit sore, it's fantastic. But generally that continuity. We know what the players are going for, Swatter. The players are going for two buys in the year. I don't think any of them like the buy where it is Duck, right now, except for if you're injured.
I'm hearing some things about you. Is it true that you have insisted for the EJ Witten game that a bench press be installed in the rooms next to a mirror? Oh. Is that true?
You're an idiot.
Come on.
You're an idiot. I tell you what, though, one of my skipper, Matthew Richardson, sort of said that, and I want you to sort of really take notice of when we first run out. Richo said he's going to do a bit of a session before the game. He's going to go to the gym
and really
pump up.
Duck, what are your thoughts on Jesse Hogan? I think he's kicked 3 goals in the last 6 weeks. Looked a little bit off the boil yesterday. You know, meant to be the $10 million man at Fremantle. Man, how's he going?
Yeah, look, I think he's been competitive. Yesterday wasn't one of his better games. He's been contributing.
Body language?
Not in a great... I don't have a problem with his body language. I just think that he's... yesterday wasn't a great day for the whole club, let's be honest. But he's got another big pre-season. Remembering, Jay-Z, this is his second year, second full year of football. He'll be much better for another pre-season and a good weights program over the summer, and he'll come back stronger and better next year.
Do you think he'll stay at Melbourne for the long term?
I really hope so, because I really think that, you know, Melbourne have got a real future. They've got some real young talent, and I think that, you know, with that young talent that they've got coming through the middle of the ground, if they can pick up another one or two, then he's going to get a lot of opportunities to kick a lot of goals.
Any other news before we let you go today, Jay-Z?
Just a little surprise trade whisper, Wayne Schwoss. We've heard a lot about Hayden Ballantyne wanting to get out of Fremantle and West Coast being an interested party. Of course, he's contracted for one more year. Look, I think this is a real long shot, but Chris Scott at Geelong has long been an admirer of Hayden Ballantyne. And while I think it's unlikely, I reckon the Cats do have a level of interest in Hayden Ballantyne in this year's trade period. So it would take like a Stephen Motlop to go or something like that. Someone would have to move. But if there was a big name sort of departure like Motlop, then I think that Hayden Ballantyne's name would just bob up on Geelong's radar.
Straight swap, GWS get Ballantyne, Fremantle get McCarthy. Straight swap.
Yeah?
Yep.
Said confidently.
Who wins out of that? Fremantle. I think getting McCarthy.
Well, McCarthy hasn't played for a fair while, and
he's still an ace.
Clearly,
isn't he?
Well, is he? He's clearly had a lot of things going on in his life, and he's clearly having had to work through those things. And you never know. You know, that's the great unknown, isn't it? So we know what Ballantyne would give GWS.
Interesting forward line with Stevie J and Hayden Ballantyne inside the forward 50. Jay-Z
and the All Australian Toby Green.
Yes.
Very good, Jay. Shut up. The footy's on Triple M. Triple M rocks football.